Father, we just come humbly before you this morning. As great as you are, it makes no sense that we're worthy enough to come before your throne. We just thank you for sending your Son to be able to give us that opportunity, that his blood that was shed in his resurrection allowed us to have that passageway between you, to be able to come before you and just worship and honor you and bring glory to you. Father, we just thank you again for the rain this morning. It's been much needed. And you just are always faithful and always answer our prayers on your time. And once again, you've done it. We just want to throw a special prayer up there for Gary Horton this morning as he is fighting some more illnesses, that he's been a heck of a warrior for you and brought many people to Christ and just helped encourage many, many people on his time on this earth. And we just pray that you can comfort him, and if it's your will, that you may ultimately just heal him and just have this be part of his battle story. And we just, again, just pray that you may comfort him and his family as he's going through this battle. And we just also want to pray for the other people that are dealing with sickness and health issues, that we all know somebody that we're dealing with or helping or praying for or whatever it may be, that somebody's going through something, and we just pray that you can just reach down and ultimately give them the comfort that only you can provide. There's only so much we as human beings can do or are designed to do, and it's your design as who you are as our God to be able to show us that comfort and grace that only you can. So I just ask that you just bestow that down upon them, and we just thank you for the freedom in this country to be able to come worship you freely this morning with no guidelines or no rules to follow, but just are able to openly speak and tell about your truth and your stories. And we just pray for this nation as it's under so much pressure to just do evil, it seems, and do things that are not of you, that you may just hear our cry out to you, Father, that we are still here and we're still worshiping you and we're still trying to be honorable to you and trying to be worthy to you. And we just confess the sins of this nation to you, that just please remember it and don't turn your back on this nation, and just help this nation to have the evil exposed and have it exposed in a way that can be dealt with. And we know that you have the ultimate authority to do what you want and do what you will to those that are creating this evil and this schemes and the propaganda that they're pushing. So we just pray that you can deal with those justly as you say that you will. And I pray that this morning you can just put my selfish motives and anything that I wish to say aside this morning, and just unlock the Holy Spirit to be able to speak freely and convey the things that you need to be said and heard this morning, so that we can just live a life honorable to you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So we've been doing, Dad's been doing Ephesians 6 on Thursday night Bible class, which is the armor of God. And for the last two Thursday nights, I've been sitting down there, and my Bible's been open to Ephesians 6. But up on the upper left-hand corner of Ephesians verse 5, this verse just keeps jumping out at me and will not let me not think of it. So every time I open up to Ephesians 6 the last few weeks, this is the verse that just kept jumping out at me and screaming at me to look at it, to read it, to go into it. So that's the direction that we're going to go this morning. So if you want to open your Bibles up, we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, and we're going to read through that, and it's going to be a unique verse for Father's Day. And I was laughing last night when I was finishing this up, that I just kept laughing to myself, and Hallie kept asking what was going on, and I said, "You'll see," because it is unlike probably what you would expect to hear on a Father's Day, maybe. So we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, and we're going to read all the way just through chapter 6 in verse 4. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church. He himself being the Savior of the body, but as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle, any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. Because we are members of his body, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reverence to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. So the first thing I want to bring out is the word submission has been distorted today. And you look at submission and it's not humiliation. It's not some sort of sick slavery or lack of words like a kidnapping mindset. When you think of submission and you think of that verse and that section that Paul wrote has been distorted because of human nature and old sin nature and how the devil wants to control things. And if you look at it, control and submission are two different things. Submission is not control. Control is not submission. Controlling someone is determining the behavior or the supervise the running of. It's controlling someone. You're making them do something. Where submission is the act or the fact of accepting and obeying someone else. So the best terms to put in for submission is putting your own desires less than theirs. That's submission. So there's a big difference between controlling and submission. Paul is not talking about controlling somebody when it says wives to be subject to your husbands and husbands to your wives. That's not what it's talking. Don't let that's when you get the feminist look and everything today of, I can't be under the head of my household, can't be a male because I'm a woman, or the woman rights activists that are out there that can twist that. That is not what this verse is talking about. We're going to see that this morning, that there's a huge difference between controlling somebody and being submissive to somebody. There's a very big difference. So, hold your place. We're going to one other place we're going to go to, because it's not just Paul just did not write this, but flip to the back of your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 9. We're going to look at that too and look how Peter words it. So just a couple books back to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 3. In the same way, you wives be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word. Disobedient to the word would be negative. If any of you have a spouse, a husband, or a wife that would be negative to the word of God or has not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is what it's talking about. So in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient, or negative to the word of God, that they may be won without word, but by the behavior of their wives. So you've heard actions speak louder than words? That's what this means. If you're going to win somebody, if you have a spouse, see, the Bible speaks of being equally yoked, but that's not always the case, because you could take two unbelievers that end up in marriage together, and then all of a sudden one gets saved, yet one is not. You still have to fight for that one. So they're unequally yoked, but it wasn't speaking of marriage. The Bible speaks of marriage of being unequally yoked when it is a husband or a wife that knows Jesus and has a relationship with Jesus, but then has somebody that they get married to that has nothing to do with Jesus or wants nothing to do with Jesus. That is what it's talking about, is unequally yoked. And God puts that warning out to those because he knows the hardship that's going to come with that, and it's going to be one way or the other. There's no right and defense. Either that person is going to get drugged down and then walk away from their relationship with Jesus Christ, or that person can, in like this example, when there's somebody that loves Jesus and knows of the relationship and the value of having a relationship with Jesus, you're to fight for that. And how you fight for somebody, when it speaks of this, do you fight with actions or with words? What this is saying is, let your actions speak louder. When you're constantly, when we're nagging on people and we're bewildering, just belittling people, and we're just always at their heels chomping and chomping and chomping, you're just going to push somebody farther and farther away. And that doesn't go just for a husband and wife, but that's the greatest example. But that's just spreading the word of Jesus. You laugh at the word of, like, Bible thumper. Why do people think, you know, so many times Christians are called Bible thumpers? Because they go around and all they do is just want to beat people in the head with a Bible and say, this is what you need to understand, this is what it is. And you keep, that does no good. When you just keep pushing it on somebody and keep pushing it and pushing it, all you're going to do is push them farther away. So actions, well, what Peter's talking about here is that your actions will speak louder than words. And if you're in a relationship to where you're unequally yoked at this point, to where there is somebody that maybe they know Jesus, but maybe they don't have a real relationship with him, or maybe they don't want any part of him, this tells us you need to continue to fight for them. And to fight for them in a way that they see by right here in verse 2. So read verse 2. As they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. That is how you will win somebody to Jesus. Not by taking a Bible and beating them over the head and saying, how holy am I? Look at how I live my life. Look at how I do this. Why don't you be a better person and do this? That's being a hypocrite. That's being no different than a Pharisee's back in Jesus' day. So, verse 2, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. You're either going to build a wall. Have you ever thought of what a wall is designed to do? In a relationship, it's so easy to build a wall because of our emotions. Building a wall does nothing but what? Keep somebody away from something. It keeps them divided one way or another. Keeps them out of something. So the way with our actions and our words, are we building some sort of a wall between our spouse or somebody that we're in a relationship with? What does that look like? Verse 3, your adornment must not be merely external. So it's not all about looks. It's the heart. Braiding of the hair, wearing gold jewelry, or putting on dresses. It's not all about looks. It's not all about things on what somebody's appearance is on the outside. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. That is how you will strengthen that relationship. That is how you will gain somebody to a better relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're in that position, God just told you what to keep doing. He told you, keep, fight to win. Fight, you need to win those people over. You need to be able to be equally yoked. Let your words, let your true inner beauty, it will show. That person then will not have an excuse but to say, why do you continue to act that way towards me? Because I bite, I'm angry, I lash out at you when I have a problem or I do something. I'm short-fused, easily to be angered. And that person would say, why can you handle me like you do? Verse 5, for in this way, in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children, if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. It's worked in the past. It's not anything new, just like any of the Bible. A relationship, you look at all the relationships in the Old Testament, what it's talking about is Abraham and Sarah, how they fought for so many years to have a child. But she kept being submissive to him. She kept, yes, if that's what God says, because Abraham was the leader of that family, and that's what we're going to get into. He was the head of the household, and she was submissive to him. And she said, I trust God because you trust God, because you're a good picture of your relationship with God is real. Therefore, my relationship with God is real, and I can be submissive to you because I know that you're real and that it's true. Verse 7, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way. Remember, we're going to come back to this later, but remember what Peter wrote here. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor. What does honor look like? If you show somebody honor, is it... There again, the word I think that we can get it confused with is controlling and submissive relate to showing somebody honor. Because in our mind as men, it's all hoorah, gung-ho. Is it a controlling honor that we want to show them? Or is it an honor, just what Peter wrote, of having that passion and complacent and patience with somebody? Holding them in honor is submissive because you're putting yourself aside. When you put somebody else's desire above yours, that is honorable to that person. Since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Show grace. I get grace. We get grace because Jesus Christ and God the Father passed on grace to us. Therefore, we are supposed to show others grace. Since she is a woman, show her honor as a fellow heir of grace of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Okay, did you catch that part? And this is tough. This is one of the things that I don't know why. It's tough, but it's easier the more you do it, and it becomes a habit, and it's better. It's something that I can't stand up here and say that we're great at. It's something that we'll have to get better because now we're held accountable for it. But I'm going to read it one more time. Verse 7, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she's a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Here we go. So that your prayers will not be hindered. If you treat your spouse like crap, or you don't have a relationship with your spouse, how effective is your prayer life with your spouse going to be? If all I do is fight and complain and have strife with my wife when I'm laying in bed at night and we need to pray together, how easy is that going to be, or how effective is that going to be? That's what that means. It will hinder. If you don't treat her with respect, or treat your spouse with respect, you're not going to be able to have a prayer life that is honorable to God. It will be hindered because you're not going to take each other serious. You're going to be like, but I know how you treat me. I know that you don't show me love with respect and with honor. It's going to build that wall. If you have a wall up between the two of you, that wall is going to throw a wall up in your prayer life. God says that. Peter wrote that. God says we should pray together as a husband and wife. or in a relationship, even for people that are dating in a relationship. How awesome would that be to be able to be in a relationship to where you guys can pray together? Not saying, obviously, it's going to go against everything that we've talked about if you're living together and you're doing that before married, but if you pray together during your time when you're going out on a date or going to do something, when you end a date or do something in relationship, that is honorable. That's going to keep that wall and keep that division between the two down. So, verse 8. To sum up, all of you, so this is all of us, this is men, women, this is everybody. Be harmonious, sympathetic. That's tough to sympathize with people sometimes, especially if they're people that don't handle like sicknesses or things very well. That's tough to do. It's hard to have sympathy on people because we don't want to slow down and take the time to be able to do that. We want to keep our fast-paced life moving forward and keep going, and it's just easy to push everybody to the side. So brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Verse 9, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult. You mean you can't take jabs for people on Facebook and Instagram or whatever they're trying to say? Let it be. The thing is, with all this social media, what good does it really do and whose mind does it really change anyway by throwing insults back and forth or being demeaning to one or another? It's not going to change anything anyway. But giving a blessing instead. Try that. It's tough. When somebody does something to you that causes anger or causes something for you to just blow, instead of returning that anger or an insult, try praying for them. Give them a blessing. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. You're going to get rewarded for it someday. You may not see it right now, but right there God says that you will see it. You will get that. If you are able to be harmonious, means get along with everybody. We're going to look in Galatians chapter 3 verse 28 where God says that in His eyes we are all one. There's no blacks, there's no whites, there's no Mexicans, there's no whatever. We are all one. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are all one. Be harmonious. Get along with everybody. Be in harmony. But what does the devil want us to do? Satan wants us to build that wall. I can't be with that person. I can't get along with that person. They got too many different things than I've got. Or she's got this problem. That wall goes up and that division is started. It's much easier to build a wall up than it is to tear a wall down. And that's what Satan wants us to keep doing, is laying those blocks higher and higher and higher. Okay, so go back to Ephesians. If you held your place there. So, when he said to be understanding, remember I said hold on to that, to the husbands, to be understanding? What we as husbands and fathers, see, I look at, you know, like we have a big day as Father's Day today, but that goes as husbands also. To me, it all ties together. What we as husbands and fathers need to understand is that we need to die. And that's not speaking of a physical death, but to ourselves. You look at it, what it just talked about, women, they get to submit. We have to die. The men have to die. And what do you mean with that? The men, as the spiritual head in the household, they need to set their selfish motives aside, whatever things that, not saying they can't go do their own things, we can't go do, but selfishly, the things that motivate us, well, it's just easier if I don't go get the lawnmower out for my wife, she can go figure it out later because I don't feel like walking out to the shed and getting it out for her. Or I don't feel like pulling her car out of the garage to get the garage. Whatever it may be, lay yourself aside. I know them are silly, stupid examples, but start with that mindset And it's going to go into everything that you do. Lay yourself aside. So how do you, the best example I could come up with of being the head of something or being in charge of something and putting yourself aside is like owning a business. So if you were running a business, and or if you're the manager or a boss of a business, sometimes it comes down to just you. There's nobody else. No matter what you're doing, no matter what you're trying to enjoy, whether it be birthday parties, weekends, vacations, holidays, all of that stuff goes out the window. Those days are there, but they're bonuses if you get to actually enjoy them. It's true. If the phone rings, you stop what you're doing and you have to answer the call. Why? Because your reputation as a business depends on it. If somebody knows that you're not responsible and you're not reputable and you don't have a constant time frame, like you go to a store and it says we close at 9 o'clock and you walk in at 8:50 and that store is already locked up and closed and done. Well, I was under the understanding you were open till 9 o'clock at night, therefore me as a person of going to go in and buy something from your business, I'm thinking it's open till 9 o'clock. It's not reputable. You have to be reputable. Your checkbook depends on it as a boss. Not only your checkbook depends on it, but your employee's checkbook depends on it. The more reputable your business is, you'll be able to financially have what you need to do to survive. But not only you, but you're also going to be able to take care of the employees that are working for you. So if you gave it 100% as a business owner, and you make that happen, you don't worry about weekends, you don't worry about vacations, you don't worry about holidays, you answer the call when you're supposed to, you will have a business that is reputable. We can all think of businesses sitting here of some business that we know that we can count on 24/7 no matter what. There's a business out there. There's somebody that we can think of that runs a business that way. So what would your marriage or your relationship look like if you treated it that way? If you were the boss in your relationship, we as men are called to be the head of our household. If we run our household like a reputable business and we gave it 100%, if we give it our all, what would our marriages and relationships look like? Would we be able to get that stamp of, we'll just call it the Better Business Bureau, that they back companies that are reputable and that are honorable and don't screw people out of money or do dishonest service or whatever? Would God be able to give us that stamp of approval on our relationships and our marriage? Being the head of the household or the family is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. So you're back in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to finish up through the book in Ephesians here. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Die to self. That's being the head of the household. That's being a father. That's being a husband. Die to yourself just as Christ gave himself up for us. That's the perfect picture. We as men have a job to do. It's to give ourselves up, bury our selfish needs, our selfish motives, and our selfish actions. Love your wife as Jesus loves you. And I have to ask myself, as how does he do that when everything I'm against, when I'm everything against what Jesus wants me to be? I find myself so many times throughout the day not doing the things that Jesus wants me to do. Yet what does he do? That grace that we inherited, Jesus loves me anyway. We need to love our spouses anyway. When they do stuff that we just can't understand or say things that we just can't understand, why would you do it that way? Why would you say that? That grace that we inherited, that is what we're supposed to show to our spouse. We talked, if you remember, clear back when we were in the book of 1 John, we talked about agape love. What kind of love do we have in a marriage or a relationship? The agape love is the highest form of love because it's a charity love. What's a charity love? Charity is what? Something freely given. It's a free giving love when it's not deserved or it's not earned. That's what we need to have in a relationship. That's what we need to have in a marriage. That's what we need to have when we're raising children. That is what we as fathers and husbands need to be able to bestow down upon our family. See where we're going? We're totally different from what the world says in these verses of controlling. Submissiveness is not controlling. Submissiveness is this. It's the agape love. It's showing that love when others don't deserve it. We have to be men enough to be able to stand up and put our foot down and to be able to lead our house that way. You can flip a page if you want to backwards to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through 27. Therefore, lay aside falsehood. Speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Person living down the road? Yes, obviously. They're your neighbor. Who else is your neighbor? Do you wonder why the Bible, in the other verse when it says, love your neighbor as yourself, or this verse right here, therefore, lay aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor? Neighbor covers all of us. Your neighbor is your husband, your wife, your children, your relatives, your friends. Neighbor's going to cover it all. For we are members of one another. That's what I was talking about in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, when God does not separate. We are one in the eyes of God. We are a follower of Jesus, and that is it. There's no division between a follower of Christ. There's no color. There's no male, female. There's nothing. We are one. And when you wrap your head around that, and we'll touch on it, that to me is how you understand what it always says, because me as a man, I could never understand why Jesus has to come back to the bridegroom and for the bridegroom. I'm like, you're talking about male and females and mothers and fathers. And I'm not a homosexual. My mind thinks of that, being like, why do I got to be married to Jesus? Jesus is a guy. My brain just always kind of spun on that one. That's what this is. This answers that question, that we are one in the eyes of God. God looks at it as all. Jesus Christ is going to come back for his bridegroom as all of us. He uses marriage as an example because we were born of somebody, from a male and a female, sometime in life we were born, whether we had good parents or not, we still got to see, or we had friends, somebody with a relationship. We've all seen relationships in our life. So God's going to use something that we can all see, whether it's been good or bad, our experience with it, but we all know what it looks like in a marriage. That example is what Jesus has taken for the church, to be married to the bridegroom of the church. That relationship. So, verse 26. Be angry and yet do not sin. How do we do that? That's a tough one. So, Psalms chapter 38, or 37, verse 8 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil doing. Proverbs is kind of a book of how to do's. It's kind of something that is good to read through the book of Proverbs, because there's so many simple tidbits that are just like, you want to know how to do this? Here you go. Here's the answer. It's that quick. It's that easy. It's that cut and dry. There's no thinking about it. A fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. Wisdom, just like what Solomon asked for, wisdom is something that God desires us to ask for. Wisdom ties into everything. It ties into being a better spouse. It ties into running your household. It ties into living your life. Wisdom is what we need to live a life that's honorable to God. God wants us to seek after His wisdom. It tells that so many different times in the Bible. You can just do a study on the word of wisdom and how many times God desires us to have wisdom. You look at King David, was wisdom, and he was a friend of God. Wisdom is something that in your prayers that you should ask for every time you pray, is ask for God to give you wisdom. That's how this world will be changed. That's how you can affect your 6 foot. When we're talking about the armor of God on Thursday nights, and you're talking about the Roman armies, that they were in charge of their own 6 feet. As soon as you can change your 6 feet, you will change the next 6 feet beyond. Wherever you go, you will start being that wave that's moving all those other 6 feet. Be in control of your own 6 feet. So, do not let the sun go down on your anger. This is in Ephesians 4:26, or excuse me, 27. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Why? It's easy, though. If I'm fighting or doing whatever, it's easy just to turn my back, lay over, roll over, and go to bed. And don't worry about it. It'll be better when I wake up in the morning. Will it be? It ain't going to be. You may think that it is, but what did you just do? You just took that one more block and you just laid that block on that wall that you're building. One more block, one more block, one more block. Do not give the devil an opportunity to divide. That is not my words. That is wrote right there. But it's easy to just roll over and go to bed. Yeah, guess who else thinks it's easy? Satan just caused that division. The mind games that can be played, that's what destroys relationships, are mind games. When I look at phones or Facebook, Instagram, whatever that stuff may be, and you start having mind-altering thoughts about things, that's what Satan wants. Because whether it be envy for this, or lust for this, or whatever you may be after, that you like the way that that looks or sees, or you wish you had that, or what, that may be, I wish my wife looked like that, or acted like that, or I wish my husband would give me this, or provide me with this, or whatever that little mind game that you play, that you think is so innocent, it's not. Because you're building that wall between your relationship with your spouse. And the devil wants you to build that wall as tall as you can build that wall. The division, it keeps you from each other. And it keeps Satan in the middle, sitting on that wall laughing at you, saying, ha ha, I got you. Because you're divided. You need to deal with things immediately. And that's part of standing up and being honorable. Men, if you want to be honorable, if we need to be honorable with our wife, we owe it to our wives to cut things off at the head of a problem. Deal with things immediately. As tough as it is, as hard as it is to do, it needs to be dealt with immediately. Or the devil will gain the ground on you. Again, not my words. Right here. That's why it's important to do it. That is why the world wants us to distort the word submissive. Because then we can't understand the true meaning of the word when we look at control and submissive. Right here. Controlling someone is going to cause division. So men, as fathers or husbands, we need to, number one, be willing to sacrifice everything for your spouse. Two, we need to make her well-being a primary focus. Well-being is what? Happiness, comfort, and security. You look at security. Are you concerned as the head of your household? Are you concerned with with the activities of your wife or your spouse? Or are you just, no, I'm going to stick my head in the sand like an ostrich and really not understand? I'm not saying that you have to be attached to each other's hip all the time, but you have to be aware of the world that we live in and the evil that's in this world that we live in, and that there's places, unfortunately, that I, as the husband of my wife and the father of my children, I don't feel comfortable sending my wife and children to somewhere alone. Are you concerned with the security? And like I said, you need to be careful because that controlling comes in. Well, you just don't want me to go over there and do that by myself because you're trying to control me. Well, if we're leading our household correctly, our spouse should know the difference between submissive and controlling, and they should be able to look at it and be able to say, thank you for protecting me. Thank you for thinking of the things that I maybe not think about or don't think about, because when I'm running around or I'm walking somewhere, I've got three children to try to control that I've got to get here and there and in a car. There's things that I can't see and do. Verse 3, care for her as you care for your own body. Love your woman unconditionally and sacrificially. Love her as she is and what she will be. Selfishness in a marriage is deadly, but sacrifice in a marriage is sustaining and life-altering. Not only for you, this is a big part, but for your children. If you have children, what are your children seeing? Verse 4 in Ephesians chapter 6 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up. What do you mean bring them up? You nourish them. What do you do when you nourish somebody? You give them what they need to survive. You give them what they need to grow strong. You give them what they need to get through their day. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Can or will your child learn relationship skills and habits from you? Absolutely, they do. Absolutely. They're like a vacuum. They just suck in everything that you say and everything that you do. They're sucking it all in. Can you correctly discipline them and instruct them when you yourself will not be instructed by God? You're not going to. If I am not listening to the instructions that God has given me to run my household, how do you think that I'm going to be able to raise my children correctly with instruction and correct discipline? There's no way. We're supposed to love our wives with a purpose. Jesus loved the church, so one day he may present her to himself as a glorious bride. This is what I was talking about. Look at verse 27 in chapter 5 of Ephesians. That he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. Do you remember when we talked about how you will be introduced last week? What does a bride do on her wedding day? How is she introduced? They're all dressed up, gussied up. They're beautiful. They walk down. They're the show. That's what everybody's there for, is for the bride. How will we be introduced? When Christ comes back for his bride, what will we be like? What will we look like? How will he be able to introduce us? We talked last week that he's going to announce us to the angels. Are we going to be a bride that walks down in a beautiful white wedding dress? See the picture, the comparison? That's why I struggled with it before I really wrapped my head around this, that's the picture that Jesus wants for us. Jesus wants us to be presented as that bride that walks down this aisle in that beautiful white dress on her wedding day, to say, everybody, look. That's what he wants us to present to his Father and to his angels. That's why he is so, when he comes back for his bride, the church, that's why he's doing all this. Is to be able to present us how? holy,
and blameless.
Our goal should be to help our wife or our spouses grow in godliness and to help them be all that God created them to be. I'm going to skip along, jump to verse 28. So husbands ought to also love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Do you love one another with tender and passion and with respect and honor? Anyone who is Christ-honoring will not cut one another down. We just read that back in Peter. You won't cut one another down. Friction will cause division in a relationship. If you don't like to be, how many times we say that to our girls, if you don't want to be treated that way, then do not treat somebody else that way. If you don't want that to happen to you, then don't treat your spouse that way. So I'm going to jump, I'm going to skip now. We were going to go, we don't have the time to go all the way to verse 4, but we're going to end with verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We are examples as leaders of our household. It's up to us to raise the children. That is why the United States of America is as chaotic and as big a disaster as it is right now, because we don't have men that are willing to stand up, to set themselves aside, and to raise their children. We have children raising children in this nation right now, and it is wrong, and it shows it. Take control of your 6 feet. Take control. Your 6 foot is your household. Your 6 foot is your family. Get control on your family. Look at how your family operates. God give that to you, to us as a husband and a leader. The wives get it, they get to submit. That sounds, like I said, now that we know the difference between controlling and submitting, the wives get to submit. We have to lead. We have to control our household and get control of our household to be able to make it look like a bridegroom that is holy and blameless. That's our job. So fast forward to Thursday nights with the armor of God. Why do you think Paul finishes the book of Ephesians and all this stuff with the armor of God? Because it's hard. That's why. It's hard to do this. It's hard to live a life like this. You cannot do it by yourself. Unless you physically take that armor up and you put that armor on, God will not put that armor on for you. You have to put that armor on yourself. And if you don't do that and don't understand the tools that He's got for you, it's going to continue to be children raising children in this nation. We won't change. We will go down in a flaming ball of glory. But it won't be glorious. Encourage. It should be encouraging. It should be exciting to us to know that we have that duty placed upon us. That should get that fire started in your belly. That should give you that warrior mentality that I want to fight. I either want to fight to help preserve this nation because of the way that I raise my children, because I know that they're the future of this nation, or I want to fight to be able to have a better relationship with my spouse, or I want to fight to run my household better. Whatever your fight is, it should be intensified. We're running out of time. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you for your words of encouragement, for your direction, for your instructions. Father, we just thank you for giving us the answers that we need. And I pray that each one of us in this room, each one of us that may hear this or wherever it comes from, that you can give us the encouragement and the courage to stand up for what's right, to be able to be a leader in our households, and to be able to look at our relationships and our marriages as something that is designed to be as special as you created them to be. Father, I just thank you for giving us the blessings of spouses and family and children that we get to experience and get a bleep of what picture you're trying to relate that to for when you come back to take us as the bridegroom. I just thank you for the time that we've had this morning, and I just pray that as we leave this building today that we can take these words that you've given us this morning and truly change our life and change our walk with you and try to make a difference in the 6 feet around us as we go through our daily battles, whether it's work, whether it's home life, whatever it may be. You've got us placed in this situation in this time to be able to defend it and to stand up for the truth and to be able to change this world that we live in. So, Father, I just pray for the offering. As we take the offering, that you can utilize it to be able to keep this building open and keep the lights on in this building. And if there's something that comes up, that you may just hold us accountable as a church to use the finances to further your kingdom. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.